This is Carol from HeartMath, and thank you very much for joining us this morning. Rad is a provider at Medicine in Balance. That's a holistic medical practice of Dr. Wendy Warner. Wendy, who's on this call with us this morning, too, is president-elect of the American Board of Holistic Medicine, and she's an OBGYN. Rad is the stress management expert there in Wendy's practice and uses the HeartMath techniques. He also couples that with hypnotherapy to help patients reduce stress. And Brad is also a licensed one-on-one HeartMath provider. Let me go ahead and let you take it over, Brad.
Great. Thank you very much, Carol. Carol asked me if I would talk about what it is that I do with the HeartMath techniques. As Carol had introduced me, thank you very much, Carol, what I do here at Dr. Warner's practice is I provide stress reduction for a lot of the people who have come in. Wendy, my wife, the doctor of this practice, feels that most of the illness that we see walking through our doors is motivated by stress. We are able in here to take blood levels and actually see what the stress hormone levels are in the people who are coming through our doors. And many times we don't actually have to do that. We do it anyways, but we can hear reports from the people who are talking about weight gain and sleep issues that we can pretty much guess that their cortisol levels are high. Wendy will refer them to me. I also see quite a few people now by word of mouth. I've been doing this for a few years, and word is starting to get out about the value of practicing the HeartMath techniques. But in my practice, I tend to see mostly people who have high levels of cortisol or who are hypertensive. They're exhibiting sleep issues, as I said, weight problems. And I thought today I would talk about what it is that I do over the hour to the hour and a half session when someone first walks through my door. When I first start off and someone walks through the door to see me, I like to find out why they think they're coming through the door. And I also do an initial assessment about what the stresses are in their life. Sometimes we have access to the labs that come back and we can actually see what their stress hormone levels are. Other times people have just gotten word that there's something going on in their body and it's motivated by stress. They need to come in and visit and see if they can change all that. So they come in and frequently we'll spend the first 10 or 15 minutes talking about what are some of the stresses that they have in their life. One of the simple exercises I do at the very beginning of this, it allows them to kind of open up and start talking about what are some of the stresses in their life, but also at the end of this exercise allows me to point out very clearly where we tend to focus on helping them reduce the impact of stress. And as I'm talking, you might like to try this yourself, unless you're driving in your car or something or doing the dishes. One of the things I do is I will draw three columns across a piece of paper. And at left-hand column, I will write down stress. And in the middle column, I write down impact. And at the top of the third column, I write down reduction. And I actually show this chart to the client sitting in front of me, and I ask them, what are some of the stresses in your life? What causes you stress? And as they start talking about some of the stresses, their spousal relationship, their work, finances, their health, I start jotting these down in the left-hand column. It doesn't take very much. Sometimes we'll add only four or five, and it doesn't. Again, we do that in just a matter of moments. And then I ask them, what do you notice physically, mentally, and emotionally about these stresses? How does the stress affect you? What is the impact of the stress? And we start jotting down usually the emotional states that come from the stresses. Most stress seems to cause negative emotion in people. So if you're having problems at work, it might cause general anxiety or anger or frustration. Money issues may cause worry, concern, apprehension, fear of the future. And we'll jot those down in the middle column. And then I ask people what they do currently to reduce the impact of the stress. I did this once before a large group of people, and there was a tiny little old man who was listening. And when I asked him initially what his stress was, he said that his stress to him was golf. And it got raised eyebrows, and people kind of chuckled a little bit, and so I wrote down golf under the stress. And under the second column, we talked about the emotional impact, and he and many other people volunteered the emotional impact of anxiety, anger, rage. we got over to the third column. What do you do to reduce the impact of stress? Well, this little old man plays golf. So other people will drink. They'll watch TV. Some people do yoga. Some people exercise. Some people talk or walk with friends. What I inevitably point out to people is that no matter what it is you do to try to reduce the impact of stress, to take away, to get away, step away from those worry or concern or fear, it tends to be short-term because the stress seems to always come back the next day, or you walk out of the yoga room and get in your car and hit heavy traffic on the way home and there it is again. So I talk to them about, and I usually point an arrow down at this third column on the right-hand side and say, this is all short-term. Whether it's good or bad, whether you're drinking or doing yoga, it's going to have a short-term impact on reducing the stress. And then I focus in kind of like a bullseye in between the first column on the left-hand side, the stress and impact. And I focus and tell them, this is where we like to work. We like to start changing the actual impact of stress. And the way we do that is by teaching people to shift, take an emotional shift from a negative emotion to a positive emotion. I end up telling them, this is the one thing I'd like you to take home with you, besides an M-wave, is understanding that emotions change the physiology of your body. That then leads us into a discussion of the physiology of stress and negative emotions. At this point, I often like to start drawing. I do a lot of hands-on drawing and diagramming on art easels with clients who come in to see me. We use crayons and literally draw things out. And you might actually like to try this also if you happen to have paper and a pen in front of you. If you have a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11 or larger, or even a napkin, if you fold it in half sideways and then fold it in half again so that you now have 4/4 of the piece of paper, and at the very top of it, in the middle, write down high arousal or high energy, and down on the bottom, in the middle, write down low arousal and low energy. I show people how it's very, very simple to go from a high energy state to a low energy state. This is actually a physiological response that is triggered by breathing, long, slow, deep breath. And often at this point, I will turn on, I have a little breathing coach, and what works very, very well is the coherence coach that comes with the M-Wave. It comes on a little CD you can actually load on a computer. And it serves as a breathing coach, and I set it to about 5 seconds coming in, 5 seconds going out. It doesn't actually show five, and I try to steer people away from actively counting. I want them to get a sense of breathing, long, deep, comfortable breath. And I have them for a moment focus on their heart and shift their breathing. So they're taking in long, rhythmic breath, again, 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out, but comfortable breath. And as they do that, I'm watching their breath, guiding them along, and I'll take them through 6 to 10 breaths and then just ask them how they're feeling. And most people will instantly report they're feeling very relaxed. They actually feel calm. At the very least, you're feeling neutral. You've gone from a high energy state to a low energy state by shifting your focus down in around your heart area and slowing your breath, deepening your breath. And that's all well and good. Actually, it kind of reminds me of that third column that we were just talking about, of doing yoga or taking a walk. You can get the same effect of being relaxed by climbing into a hot tub. And if you all would, those of you who are listening, imagine for just a moment someone, a young person perhaps in their 20s, they're sitting in a hot tub. They've been in the hot tub for 5 to 10 minutes. They're obviously relaxed. Their muscles are unconstricting. Their blood vessels are unconstricting. Their muscles are loosening. And after 5 or 10 minutes, yes, they're very relaxed. But if you look closely at this person who's sitting in the hot tub, just imagine you can see tears coming down the side of their face. It's not a big stretch of the imagination to imagine someone sitting in a hot tub completely relaxed but crying because they're sad and they're lonely. So going back to our chart for a moment, you've gone from a high energy state to a low energy state by climbing into a hot tub, but you're sad and you're lonely. On the right-hand side of your grid that you're mapping out, in the center on the right-hand side, mark that down as the stress zone. The stress zone is associated with negative emotion, an increase in the sympathetic nervous system, which drives up our stress hormone, cortisol, and also causes low performance, low cortical performance, because we tend to be thinking in our middle brain when this activity is going on. On the left-hand side of your paper, if you're following along with me, you might mark that down the stress-free zone. And the stress-free zone is associated with positive emotion, an increase in DHEA, and your calming hormone, and a balancing of cortisol, your stress hormone. It's also associated with a lowering of your engagement of your sympathetic nervous system and an increase in your performance, cortical facilitation. It helps drive you up into your thinking part of your brain. So I ask people for a moment to focus on the left-hand side of this grid and think of a time in your life when you felt really, truly stress-free. Think of a time you felt stress-free. What was it like? And while you're thinking of that occasion, get in touch for a moment with the emotions you were feeling. What's the emotional state for you connected to feeling stress-free? Are you riding a horse? Are you lying on the beach? Are you skiing? Are you holding hands with a loved one walking down the street? What's the emotional state? Is it a state of gratitude, appreciation, security, peace, love, joy? And map that on the left-hand side of this grid relative to its level of energy, a high energy state of exhilaration if you're skiing down a mountain in 6 inches of powder, or if you're holding hands with a loved one lying on a beach and feeling peaceful and loved, well, that's probably a lower energy. We go through three or four of these situations, times in a life when you felt stress-free, and then we shift over to the right-hand side of this grid. It's always a much easier thing to do. Think of a time in your life you felt stressed out. Connect with that situation. What are the emotions that are connected to you feeling stressed out? If you're at work and you're feeling demeaned and belittled go up on the high energy end of the scale for me. If you're lying in bed late at night unable to fall asleep because you're worried about your financial situation, you're worried, you're anxious and apprehensive, and that's a low energy. We literally map these emotions out on this emotional grid. And that way, I'm able to go back to our person in the hot tub. We know we've gotten relaxed, and we think that's good, but if we're sad and we're lonely, where are we? We're over on the right-hand side of our grid, in this case, probably the lower quadrant. We're sad, we're lonely, we're feeling negative emotion, therefore we're engaging our sympathetic nervous system, we're increasing the levels of cortisol in our body, and we're inhibiting our cortical functionality because we're probably thinking we're with our middle brain rather than our cortex, the thinking analytical part of the brain. With this grid drawn out and the two different kinds of emotions mapped out on the grid, I'm able to show people how if you focus on your heart and take the long, deep rhythmic breath, yes, you can get relaxed, but the icing on the cake is shift to a positive emotion. If you're feeling angry, shift over to an emotion of exhilaration. If you're feeling dread, shift over to a lower energy sensation, emotion of perhaps awe and wonder. And engage with that emotion and hold it. Sustain it, even if it only lasts for 4 or 5 minutes. At this point, I would say generally a good half hour to 45 minutes have gone by. And this is the point where I often introduce the quick coherence technique to the clients, talking about focusing on the heart, what that really means, getting out of your head into your heart, just for a moment, stepping away from your brain. And breathing as if you're breathing right into your heart. And when I was out at HeartMath, one of the leaders out there taught me this wonderful technique of, if you're going to focus on your heart, put your hand over your heart. You might try it right now. Put your hand over your heart and focus on your own heart. And as you do, shift your breathing so you're breathing long, deep, rhythmic breath and sense that your breath is flowing right through the hand that you're holding over your heart. You feel your breath slow down as it passes through your hand, and then just spills in and around the area of your own heart, and that's heart breathing. Once I have people doing this and they're hooked up to FreezeFramer, they are almost all of them ringing the blue bell. And then it's just a very simple matter of reminding them of what they've already mapped out on the left-hand side of our emotional grid. Shift to a time in your life, engage with an emotion in the time you felt really truly, and I can just scan my eyes over the grid and look and see what they've written. When you felt secure, or you felt exhilarated, you felt joy, love, connected. At that point, it doesn't take very long, and they're stepping into a coherent level. Ringing the green bell, stepping into the green zone. I usually let that go on for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then I'll interrupt them. Most of the time, these people have their eyes closed. If not, they're very focused, and they're focused because they're in their cortex of their head. And I'll ask them just to kind of step inside themselves and give a little report about what are they sensing on the inside. It's amazing some of the responses I get. Most people report that they're feeling relaxed or good or focused. I had one little boy who just leaned his head back and started laughing. He said, "I feel sky." He likes to lie back on the lawn in his backyard and stare up at all the clouds in the sky, and he just felt that wonderful sense of connectedness when he was sitting in a chair in a quiet office doing this technique. It just opened up his heart to as if he were outdoors on the grass staring at the clouds. But almost everybody, when walked through the mapping of their own emotions and then given an opportunity to put their hand over their heart, take long, deep rhythmic breath, and shift into those motions they've just written down, will get into a coherent state. We often move on at that point to talking about sustaining the levels of coherence. There is, people tend to fall into two different groups. They'll get distracted once they're getting coherence, into a coherent state. They'll be connecting with the sensation, let's say, of joy, and they're actually feeling joy, and they're feeling joy, and they're feeling joy, and all of a sudden they're wondering, what's for dinner tonight? And, of course, the heart math freeze framer will pick up on that fairly quickly and start ringing the blue bell saying, yes, you're getting relaxed, but you're no longer feeling a positive emotion. Your mind is getting distracted. And we talk a lot about learning how to resharpen, focus on the heart, stretch your breath again, and then get re-engaged. And again, having that little reminder tool of the freeze framer is often all they really need. They hear that, they go, oh yeah, right, I think I'll step into another situation where I felt a different positive feeling. The second group of people, I had a perfect example of this yesterday in my office, someone who has experienced a great deal of death in her family over the last several years, two or three different family members becoming ill and or dying very rapidly from accidents. Getting connected to a positive emotion with her brought her to her family, but that quickly got followed up with sensations of sadness, of grief, of having all the loss that she's had to go through and the great changes in life that she's experienced in the last 5 years. And that is not so much a matter of resharpening your focus on your heart, changing your breath, and trying to go to a more positive sensation. This is something that Tom Beckman, I know, is listening, has talked to me about. Experiencing denser emotions, deeper emotions, many of us will refer to them as negative emotions, often comes on the tail of positive emotion. I can connect with the joy of the memory of running with my large sheepdog, and then all of a sudden I'll remember that my sheepdog has died, and on comes the sadness. The interesting thing is what I encourage people to do is actively kind of embrace those emotions at this point, to almost welcome them in, because what has happened is for several moments you've been getting coherent. And what's happening? As you're getting coherent, because you're getting coherent, you're medulla in your brain will be sending sensation up into sensory input up into your cortex. So you're now focused and you're thinking with the cortex of your brain, doing seriously good analytical thinking. And in comes the sensation of sadness. What better time to be processing emotion than when you're actually using the cortex of your mind? And adults can get very, very good at learning to process denser emotions when they're in a coherent state. So I encourage people who are feeling these sensations on the heels of having been sensing a feeling of positive emotion, to actively spend a little bit of time with that, let it move through them, process it, and then re-engage with positive emotion again. And it's very, very effective in reducing anxiety and reducing depression to be able to almost embrace and welcome in these kind of sensations. That usually brings us to the end of a session. Most people who have sat with me for an hour to an hour and a half have had the opportunity to practice the freeze framer for at least several minutes a couple of times. Depending on how much time has gone by, we often can get up to 20 or 30 minutes of being hooked up, getting coherent, and staying there. And generally what I do now and have been doing a lot across the summer and into the fall has been introducing the M-Wave at that point to people who are interested in being able to have a tool that they can carry with them. I will have shown them the coherence coach to assist them in keeping their breathing rhythmic. And I, at this point, will often break out an M-Wave and show it to them. I'll show them how it works. I will sometimes snap it on their ear and show them how easy it is to get it turned on, frequently just handing it over to them as they push the button and put your finger over the sensor or use the ear clip, and I get them going on it fairly quickly. A lot of people actively like to, they'll walk right out and they'll buy one and take it home with them and come in a couple weeks later and we'll talk a little bit more. I'll teach them a little bit more about the M-Wave and talk a little bit more about sustaining coherence. But some people are a little bit resistant, but they're interested, particularly in the M-Wave. And so in our practice, we have a number of M-Waves that we simply rent out. We say, take this, take it home, come back next week and drop it off. If you'd like to make an appointment to come in and talk a little bit more about what it is that you're doing, we do that. And we'll charge just $10 for someone to take one home for a week. And inevitably, they come back and simply buy it. Yet we have been having a very hard time keeping them on the shelves. So we're finding that the M-Wave in particular, even more so than Freeze Framer, is becoming a wonderful tool for people to carry with them. We have a number of people who simply do not like, they work with computers all day long, and they do not like going home at the end of the day and practicing by staring at a computer. They would much prefer to have the M-Wave be able to drive their car over to the beach or the park and just sit there and be relaxed and get connected and know they're being coherent and practicing a healthy technique. I think that brings us to the end of what I normally do in a session. I do have make changes in how I have a presentation in the session depending on the type of person and the issue being addressed. If I know someone is hypertensive, I frequently will start off a session introducing a quick coherence technique to them and hook them right up to the freeze framer and get them going right away. People who are on beta blocker medications tend to have a more difficult time getting feedback from the freeze framer. They often get the sensation of being coherent, but they don't so much see the response on the machine and in the software. So I have learned that if I give them 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning of a session and then talk about stress and talk about what their stresses are and the impact on their life, and then about 15 or 20 minutes later, hooking them back up and doing it again, they inevitably have much more success the second time. And then we'll turn the machine off and we talk a little bit about a sustaining coherence, how you can bring this technique into your everyday life when you might want to practice, and then try a third time. The third time gets everybody. Even people who are on beta blockers tend to have broken through by this point. They've spent an hour, and over three different times now, they've actually been intentionally slowing their breath. Over a period of an hour, that relaxation has really settled into their body, and they've had an opportunity to practice shifting to an emotional state. So generally by the third time in an hour, people who are on hypertensives definitely get the breakthrough and get that so they can step into the state of coherence. People who are more type A, I don't tend to focus so much on the emotions as I will often focus on performance enhancement. And I have a couple of wonderful drawings, and I'm getting pretty good at drawing these things out on our easels that we have here in the office, showing the brain and the heart beneath it, drawing a neural network that connects the heart up to the brain, mapping out the different organs inside the brain of the medulla, the amygdala, and the thalamus, And then talking about how the medulla moderates, regulates, and monitors the your nervous system, as well as listens to what kind of heart rhythms you're experiencing. Based on heart rhythms of frustration, dread, anger, and rage, your medulla will monitor that and kind of route sensory input, sight, sound, and that into the middle brain. And I actually kind of map this out. So if your heart rhythms are incoherent, your medulla will be monitoring it and send sensory input into the middle brain. So for where you do associative thinking or emotional management, if you look emotional memory, if you look at a piece of food and you're feeling frustrated, confused, or angry, you'll see food and have a middle brain response of comfort and eat a lot. Versus if your heart rhythms are coherent and rhythmic and you're in a positive emotional state, that same sensation will be routed up through your thalamus into your cortex, where you may see a piece of food and go, ooh, food, I like food, but I'm trying to lose weight, I think I'll just have one piece. That's analytical thinking. So this is a direct approach to someone who likes to be in their head and understand that if you shift into a positive state, you can get a better brain performance and do better quality thinking. I often approach type A people from that approach, and then we start working on towards the emotions and how to use your emotional state to get better brain performance. I did mention the M-Wave Coherence Coach, which is wonderful. It comes with the M-Wave. It gets installed on a computer and can help guide someone into a comfortable breathing pattern. There is also another tool that I've been using up until this summer, where I tend now to use the M-Wave Coherence Coach more, but there is a free tool available called Easy Air. It looks like a little elevator shaft with a little elevator going up and back down. A down is kind of an exhale. Coming back up is an inhale. And I can set the actual dimensions of the inhale and the exhale. I generally set it for most people about 5 seconds. If people are smaller or having difficulties taking such a long breath, I can, of course, increase that. So it's increase the number of breaths per minute, so the number of seconds to breathe in and breathe out decreases. And that's a free tool. Again, it's called Easy-Air, and you can get that at www.bfe.org. That's the Biofeedback Foundation of Europe. They give it away for free, and it's been a very handy tool for me to have. Again, I have kind of shifted away from that. I tend to use much more beautiful and effective M-Wave Coherence Coach. One of the things that I want to be sure to mention is if you're going to be doing this kind of work with your clients, which I really, the Quick Coherence Technique, the Freeze Framer, the M-Wave, all the heart math techniques, are techniques that work very, very well in conjunction with almost all forms of therapy. EMDR is wonderful. Psychotherapy is terrific to have someone get coherent and you be in a state of coherent listening while you're dealing with clients in a psychotherapeutic mode. The point here is you must be practiced at this technique yourself. I greatly encourage everyone listening to practice the technique of focusing on your heart, shifting your breath so it's long and rhythmic, and then shifting your emotions to be in a positive state, to be a joy, awe, and wonder, exhilaration. One man who has imagined himself riding his quarter horse is where he feels the most stress-free, and I asked him how he actually felt at that point, and his word is invincible, which is just a wonderful state to be in. But again, I encourage you to, if you're going to use this with your clients, to certainly be well-practiced at it yourself. You will get the occasional person who will simply say, I don't think I'm getting this. Can you show me how you do it? And you will want to be practiced at it at that point. So I also thought I'd spend just a couple moments talking about some of the successes and some of the challenges that we've had at this practice. It's real simple sometimes just to draw a blood test and see that someone is stressed out, their cortisol levels are maxed out. We generally find that cortisol levels we'd like to see between 8 and 13, but when they start creeping above 13, anywhere 13 to 18 range is when people start reporting sleep problems. or we might ask, are you experiencing sleep issues? Do you have sleep problems at night, going to sleep but waking up at 2 or 3 and unable to fall back asleep? And they'll say, yeah, what's with that? Above 18, we tend to have people coming to see us to tell us they're having the sleep issues and they're putting on weight also. The weight aspect of that is that increased levels of cortisol over normal, over baseline, tend to interfere with your insulin receptors at a cellular level. Generally, insulin is supposed to flow into insulin receptors and populate into your metabolism to be available to burn sugars as energy. If insulin is not available, sugars get processed as weight, which is, you will see diabetic people gaining weight very rapidly. One of the things that prevents insulin from flowing into insulin receptors is higher levels of cortisol. They park themselves on the caps of the insulin receptors like little pieces of glue and prevent insulin from flowing into the receptors to be available to process sugar as energy. So instead it goes on your body as weight. That's why people who are under great stress tend to gain weight very, very rapidly. So we have people who come in to see us and we can literally draw blood, see what their cortisol levels are, and understand that they are under stress. And I had one woman who came in to see me not too long ago. She reported that she came into the office. I know her cortisol levels were in the mid-20s, very, very high. And when she came in, I asked her, as I asked most people, why do you think you've come in here today? And she said, to be honest with you, I have no idea what I'm doing in here. I do not have any stress in my life. I have a wonderful life. Great kids. I've got a nanny who helps out around the house all the time. My husband brings home all the money. It's a beautiful home in the country. I have lots of friends. They go to church. Life is wonderful. I have no stress in my life. And within 10 minutes or so at the beginning of the session, I was convinced that she was right, and I didn't know what she was doing in my office. She thought that the high levels of cortisol was a mistake by the lab. And I kind of concluded that it sounded like it must have been, because she certainly didn't seem to have any stress in her life. So I said, well, I'm kind of hesitant to have you in here and have to charge you for this session. And she said, well, I'm fascinated by what it is that you do. I would love to try this out. I said, well, in that case, so I hooked her up to the freeze framer, and I walked her through the quick coherence technique and let her try this about 4 or 5 minutes, and then I checked in with her. And as most people, when they first start doing this, she had her hand over her heart, and her eyes were closed, and she was leaned back in the chair, and I just asked her, I said, how are you doing? And her response was, wow, I feel really good. And I could see she had gotten right into the zone within 4 or 5 minutes that was ringing 50 or 60 points up in the green scale. And I said, I bet you do. She goes, I feel very relaxed. I said, that's good. And then she opened her eyes and she looked at me and she goes, you know what? That sense of fear that I've always had in my heart, that's not there right now. So fear in the heart, negative emotion, driving up the sympathetic nervous system activity and increasing the amount of cortisol in her system. And her parents, when she was a little girl, had taught her to fear everything, be very, very afraid and always on the alert. And now that she practices this technique, that fear goes away and the cortisol levels come back down into balance. That's one of the wonderful successes. People aren't even aware they have stress, but we can see that their life is being impacted by increased levels of cortisol, that they can use this tool to increase their awareness and bring back health. We've had a lot of success with weight loss and depression in particularly when they're accompanied with each other. The depression is fairly obvious. Active engagement of positive human emotion really helps you become entrained to be feeling better. And as that comes along, as the cortisol level reduces, insulin starts flowing and becoming available in metabolism to process sugars as energy, and the weight starts coming off. So we've had quite a bit of success with that as well. Some of the other challenges we have are hypertension, arrhythmia. We have people who come in here where their hearts are just, they're experiencing arrhythmias that allow them to have a normal life, but they're obviously present and disturbing and anxiety arousing. But practicing this for about 3 or 4 months often will reduce the number of arrhythmias being felt by the person, and we've had some cases where they've almost completely diminished. I think that that's about it for what I have to say in terms of what I do here in the practice and how I run a session with someone. And Carol, I think you're here. I'd be happy to open the floor to any questions if anyone's got any questions or anything they wanted to add to what it is that I've said.
Great, okay. We'll go ahead and open it to questions. I wanted to just mention a couple of things here. The resources that Brad was mentioning when he was talking about the chart, the grid, that if you want to see that grid, it's actually, for those of you who have transforming stress, it's on page 93 of the Transforming Stress book. It has the stress, emotion, and physiological activation grid. So, and it has all those things Brad was talking about. It's an easy way to explain what's going on.
Carol, can I interrupt for a moment?
Sure.
I know that HeartMath used to do things the way I'm doing them now, which was to talk about the positive emotions being on the left-hand side and the negative emotions being on the right-hand side. That is reversed on the grid on page 93, and that is the direction that HeartMath, I believe, is leaning towards now. It's just you're kind of flipping that chart around. I like, for some reason, being able to tell people shift to the left, so I've hung in there the old way of doing things.
Okay, yeah. The basic information is on that chart, and so you can develop your own way of explaining it if you like.
Mm-hmm.
But we have found that, you know, showing people that, as Brad was saying, the activation, and then you can do the relaxation, but then add the positive emotion for higher performance. So that is one resource. And then the coherence coach, that is a really wonderful trainer who's talking about, has the breathing pacer and the emotional visualizers on it. It comes with the M-Wave, the portable, but it's also available just by itself. The Coherence Coach is a downloadable. You can get that for $19.95 from our website. And then the other one he's talking about, the heart-brain connection. There's the Inside Story, Understanding the Power of Feelings, there's a chart that has the three parts of the brain and then also explains the heart-brain dynamics. So anyway, I just wanted to state the HeartMath resources that are available for those. So thank you, Brad. Let's go ahead and open it up to questions.
This is Arnie.
Hi, Arnie.
It's a practical question about your suggestion, which I found interesting, that you give the M-Waves or you rent them out for X amount of dollars, and they usually buy them. But in practical terms, what if they don't buy them? What do you you have a number of them rented out? What you would have to then discount them because they're used in order to sell them? How do you handle that?
Well, actually, we've got two or three that we tend to rent out, and depending on how generous I'm feeling, I sometimes say, here, just take this and go away and come back in a week. Especially if I feel that it'll make a difference for them and get them engaged in coming back and seeing me again. It's very effective that way. But it kind of goes, they're the same two or three, and we just keep them here in the office. We have them available for, if no one has it rented, then we can leave them sitting out in our reception room so people who are waiting to see the good doctor can actually kind of sit and play with one and walk into the doctor's office to discuss their health in a coherent fashion, which is often very helpful. We don't tend to rewrap them or anything. We have them available. They're all out right now, so they're under use and pretty easy to carry around.
I'm online now, and when I entered BFF, like Baby Feed Feed.
It's Baby Feed Edward. BFE is the Biofeedback Foundation of Europe. So it's BFE.org, O-R-G. And the EasyAir tool, the link is on the bottom left-hand part of the page. You click on it, it takes you to a long page, and you have to scroll down about halfway down, and you'll see Download EasyAir. And again, you will probably want to set that at approximately 6 breaths per minute. 6 into a 60 obviously gives you 10 seconds for each full round-trip breath, and that's 5 seconds in and 5 seconds out. Someone who is petite, I would say, and children, the standard rate I use for young children, generally anywhere from 8 years old to about 12 or 13, is about 9 breaths per minute. But for the standard adult, it's about 6 breaths per minute, 5 seconds each. And that's modifiable. If they're obviously uncomfortable doing that, I increase the number of breaths per minute, which decreases the number of seconds that you would inhale and exhale. However, I will point out that the longer you take deep breaths, the more relaxed you become, the more easy it is to take long, deep rhythmic breaths. So, again, the tool kind of reinforces taking a long, deep breath. And over a period of a few minutes, almost everybody can settle into that breath rate of about 4 to 5 seconds. Again, I also steer people away from counting. Our goal is not to have this become a meditation with a mantra. It is to be shifted into a positive emotional state. Anybody else?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, this is Mary, and I have a question. I just recently got my freeze framer, and in fact, when it arrived, I couldn't wait to set it up, and so I worked that day and played tennis that evening and then got home and decided I wanted to see how it worked. And, you know, so part of it was figuring out the software and that kind of thing. But then I will admit I didn't really take time to get into the proper state. I was just wanting to figure out how it worked.
Uh-huh.
But in doing it, I was watching the screen and very focused on raising my coherence, and I was able to do that. But then I was left that night in a really highly over-aroused brain state, and I recognized it because I do neurofeedback training, and, you know, so to do that, you have to do a lot of, you know, training on yourself before you can get certified or anything. And so, I mean, I recognized that because I had done that to myself before in biofeedback, where my brain was just really over-aroused. And would that be because it's sort of like I had been playing tennis, I wasn't really focused on doing the quick coherence, honestly, that was bad of me, but I just wanted to see how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so, can it be that that you can do that?
People tend to get different, they take away from this what they need. I have used this on people where they've gotten coherent for 10 or 15 minutes and stepped away feeling completely re-engaged and ready to take on the world, completely energized as if they've just had a 20-minute power nap. Other people will do the exact same thing, exact same time, and just say, you know, I think I'm going to go home and take a nap right now. And that's where they go. So people have different responses to it. I do know that, imagine you've got 2 yardsticks and hold them, one in the up and down in your right hand and one up and down in your left hand. Imagine that at the top of each yardstick, the top of the left yardstick is your energy level, and it's a very high energy. And the bottom of the left-hand yardstick is low energy, you're very tired. On the right-hand yardstick, at the very top of it, is your brain with squirrels running around on the inside. And at the bottom of that yardstick is your mind, very quiet, settled, peaceful. If you're at the top of both the yardsticks, you're not tired at all, you're fully energized, and your brain has squirrels running around inside, you're not going to fall asleep. If your brain is very, very running around with squirrels inside, and you're very, very tired, you probably will not fall asleep. But if you're very, very tired, and you bring a sense of peace and calm to your brain by disconnecting your nervous system, by stepping into a positive emotional state of lower energy, your squirrels will go to sleep, your brain activity will decrease considerably, and because you're tired, you will fall asleep. And this is one of the things, we treat a lot of people who have sleep issues. They will come in to see me, they'll say, I've not fallen asleep and stayed asleep all night long in 10 years, and I will tell them, before you go to bed, practice the quick coherence technique for 10 minutes sitting in a chair, and then get into bed, close your eyes. Most of those people end up calling me a couple of days later to say, I slept right through the night for the first time in a long time after I did that. So I know that when I practice the quick coherence technique and I intentionally step into a state of low energy positive emotion, a state of, generally, it's being connected with nature. I often love imagining being in a canoe quietly gliding across a quiet lake early in the morning. That brings me right down to quiet. The squirrels go away, and I go right to sleep. But it has to be connected to a low-level positive human emotion. And I think that you'll find that that will turn off your brain. Don't really know what happened that night with you. but I do know what happens with me when I connect to a low-level energy, positive human emotion. I fall asleep. I hope that helps.
Yeah. Well, and there's no question that I didn't really do the heart part of it. I mean, I was just trying to learn the equipment.
Yes.
And
well, that's
I was the subject I was learning it on, but without doing the mental part.
Yeah. Well, what I often will tell people is the first time you try this, you can remember the first time you, well, any time you try to follow someone else's directions. If I give you directions to get here to our medical practice, they're complicated, and you'd have to, you're going to be looking for the gas station to turn left, and there's the church where you want to turn right, and oh, I wonder if I made the right-hand turn or not. But the next time you come here, you know exactly how to get here, and you just do it. And it's often the same way as freeze framer. The first time it's a learning experience, the second time you're doing it, because you've already learned it, now you just got to do it.
Yeah. Do you primarily have people do it eyes closed, or do you really use, like, the meadow game and the rainbow? And
I pretty much only use the games on children, and I steer them away from the graphs. Many people ask me if it's okay if they want to close their eyes, and it's a security thing. You know, one thing, I'm a man, and I'm working in an office behind a closed door with a woman who may have security issues, and I'm not going to say close your eyes. I'm going to say if you feel comfortable, lean your head back, close your eyes. Or I'll often have them stare at, I'll tell them, I want you to watch this coherence, coach. You see the ball going up and ball going down. I want you to focus on that ball as if it were the flame of a candle. And let your eyes follow that for a while as your breath synchronizes to it. And now just go soft focus on that for a while. And in your mind, I want you to think of a time in your life when you felt truly appreciated and joyful. And that often does it. And sometimes they will close their eyes at point. Other times they just keep the soft focus on their eyes. When you get coherent, it puts you into the cortex of your mind. And that often makes people feel focused. And they'll have an intense look on their face with their eyes open, staring at sometimes the corner of a table, staring at their hands. But I like people being able to learn to do this with their eyes open. You can learn to do it with your eyes closed the first time, but when you're working with me, by the second or third time you're doing it, I want the eyes open. I want you doing this while you're driving in your car. I want you doing this while you're listening to your children talk to you. I want you doing this when you're in the grocery market standing in the line. Don't get frustrated because it's taking too long for that person to check out. Instead, engage with the same level of emotion of appreciation and gratitude for having the opportunity to buy some really great food. Whatever it is, but get connected to the positive sensation and be doing this all the time.
So you really focus on having them do it, whether they're hooked up or not.
Oh,
so
yes.
To speak.
Yes,
and
definitely. I would say maybe a fifth of the people who see me actively buy the stuff. They buy Freeze Framer or they'll buy an M-Wave and they take it home and do it. But many people don't, but the ones... I've got many people who come back in to get checked every few weeks just to see where they're at, and over a period of a summer or across the fall, they all come back, the ones who practice, including myself. The ones who practice this technique every single day become transformed in about 3 to 4 weeks. Depression just starts to ease away. Attention deficit disorder tends to crack in about, you know, grades turn around about 3 months later. Obsessive compulsive disorder eases out of the body. Weight starts to come off. It's just remarkable. But people who practice this, with the M-Wave, you can do this for 5 minutes several times a day. With the Freeze Framer, 20 minutes straight across. You know, just do it once for 20 minutes or 2 10-minute sessions. But if you're doing that, you will find in 3 to 4 weeks that your life has changed, and you are very grounded, content, and much, much happier than you were before.
Do you bill insurance?
No, we don't do that. We do provide a super bill, but we don't tend. I do have some people who want the codes, and I will give them the codes. And if they have a pre-tax dollar form of insurance, like a health savings account or something, or a cafeteria style account, it would be deductible in some cases. But generally, we don't.
Any time left to do hypnosis?
Yeah, many people ask me about this. Many people come in to see me for hypnotherapy, either to stop smoking or weight loss, generalized anxiety, just to learn other kinds of means of quickly reducing anxiety and relax themselves. But everybody who walks into my office learns how to do heart math. I have been known to take my tablet PC and go into Starbucks. I'll sit in Starbucks getting coherent, and usually takes within 2 or 3 minutes someone will walk by and go, "What are you doing?" And I say, "Here, sit down, let me show you." I do it on airplanes. I carry this thing with me all the time, and I have a lot of people who are getting coherent all around me, and I like it a lot.
Is it a good way to generate business?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's a real pleasure to be working at Dr. Warner's medical practice, and she's my wife. It's a lot of fun to work together. And I get a lot of clients through that. Wendy used to send me quite a few people. She still does, but the word of mouth is really getting out that you won't believe what this guy does. And they come by, and they hook up, and they try it. My favorite people are the skeptics. It won't work with me. I'm way too stressed out. And then they try it, and they just... I had a skeptic come in here yesterday, and it just worked wonders. They floated out of the office.
Hmm. Carol, you were talking about some resources, and you said one of them was understanding and...
Yeah, it's called The Inside Story, Understanding the Power of Feelings. It's a little booklet. It's $5.95. Yeah, it was actually written. It's the textbook they use to teach high school students. You know, the basics of heart math. So it's about 32 pages. It's got some great, you know, graphics in there and explains very simply. So it's great for kids, but it's also being used in, you know, Kaiser's chronic pain program and for other adults. It's a very simple way, and it's got great graphics in there to explain what's going on, you know, in the brain and in the body.
Great, and that is on the HeartMath website?
It is.
Okay.
And then, Mary, one other thing. I just emailed you. Once a week we have free one-hour orientation sessions, you know, live over the phone with Tom, and he does a great job of taking you through, you know, the program and how to use it. So I sent you the schedule. You're, you know, welcome to call in on those calls.
Thank you.
When I was first using this myself, I think I'd been using it for about three to six months. I'd already had that 3 to 4 week breakthrough of, oh my God, I can't believe all the stress going on today, and I had a grin on my face kind of thing. But about 3 or 4 months into using the freeze framer, I dialed into one of those teleconferences, and Tom was in the room. And it was just Tom and myself, and it was wonderful. I got about half an hour of hand-holding using the freeze framer with some terrific advice from Tom. It's kind of at an expert level, which was welcome at that point.
Great. Thanks.
I wanted to thank everyone for joining us today, and thank you, Brad, for, you know, stepping in at short notice. That was really wonderful.
Thank you for having me, Carol.
You're welcome. So, if anyone has any questions or would like further information, you can send me an email, Carol, C-A-R-O-L, @heartmath.com.